I've actually listened to all the services today. And wanted to hit on a couple things. I'm going to ultimately turn to Hebrews 12, but I want to begin for a moment where Bob was in John 3. Because the two relate. And it relates to Father's Day as well. In the passage that Bob quoted from, which was 3:16 to 21, I want to focus on 19 to 21. And this is the condemnation, that light, which is Jesus, has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Now let's go on. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. I just want to stop there for a moment. It doesn't mean that you speak evil of the light. It doesn't mean that you speak evil of that light, see, which is a mistake people think. They think, well, I don't think that way about the Lord. Scott asked a question, right? Do you love the Lord? He read through, or maybe it was Bob who read through, actually, the passage in John 21, the interaction between Jesus and Peter after he had risen, where Jesus goes, Peter, do you agape me? Peter responds, I philios you. Jesus says, Peter, do you agape me? Yes, Lord, I philios you. Peter, do you philios me? Lord, you know all things. You know that I philios you. See, a lot of times what happens out here is two people are saying different things, but they don't realize it. When you read that passage, what's the word that's used? The English word love. It's only when you look under the surface that you recognize that Peter and Jesus are speaking two completely different things. And so it is when, you know, John Scott asked, do you love Jesus? Well, the love he's talking about is, do you agape Jesus? Has nothing to do with how you feel about Jesus. Zero. And so he goes, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. And one of the ways you know that is you don't want your life exposed. You don't want it to be examined. You don't want to know the truth about the different things. When you want to do the truth, you come to the light, even if you find that you're wrong, because the only way to do the truth is to find out you were wrong, so then you can do that which is right next time. And so it goes through, and it says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. That is, you don't prefer it. You don't want your life and what you do manifest and exposed. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. See, that's the big part. You don't want to find out you're wrong and that you actually have to change direction. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. That's where we want to stand, is where you're never hiding from the light. And it's amazing when you're in that place, when you're never hiding from the light, it is an amazing thing how often that which you are doing is right. Now, let's turn over to Hebrews 12. And I want to go to Hebrews 12 for a couple of reasons. I know Brad preached a little bit on this. But he actually missed kind of what Hebrews 12 was about here. And so I want to actually begin at the verse 1 of Hebrews 12 just to get it in context. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now that great cloud of witnesses is, read Hebrews 11, it's about all the people who walked by faith. And what Scott was describing there about how when you walk by faith, then you have God between you and the circumstances. That's what all of their testimonies was. That's what every one of their testimonies was, whether it was Noah preaching and nobody hearing, whether it was Jeremiah going and prophesying and nations falling at his word, whether it was Elijah going and being rejected, but the people who rejected him being the ones who fell rather than him. Whether it be Paul going forward and being the one whom the Lord used to establish the Gentile church and watched as others came in after him and tried to turn people out of the way and caused many to come against Paul and to think evil of Paul. And yet it's Paul and the word he preached that stood. You don't even know the names of any of those that came against him. You don't even know any of their names. They're gone. So let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That right there is the definition of agape love and not being subject to the circumstances, because he stepped forward all the way unto death for us. But it goes on, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Does anybody ever feel like, why is this going on? Why are people treating me like this? Why do, when I go and share the gospel, do they seem to have no interest in it? They want to separate themselves from me and all this stuff. Wah! That's growing faint in your mind. If you really believe the gospel, if you really believe the Lord, and you really love the Lord, what happens when people hear or don't hear? Doesn't move you. Doesn't move you at all. But when you're wrapped up in filial affection, you get moved by those things. That is what moves you. Let's continue on. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Yes, I don't even want to try and measure what I have resisted against what he has resisted. Don't even want to go there, because it's nothing. Nothing. But let's continue on. And ye have forgotten. Now this is an important point. Watch this. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Uh-oh. You have forgotten this exhortation. Who here craves chastening? See a hand. Let's see a show of hands of those that crave chastening. I have to tell you, while this isn't always the case, I actually do. I know how easy it is for the sin that doth so easily beset me to get me off course. It is nothing for me to be off course. Absolutely nothing. I don't have to do anything to get off course. It is the easiest thing to happen in a day. The absolute easiest thing is to get off course. To be on course, by contrast. Now that seems sometimes hard to do. Seems hard to do. But if you're going to despise chastening, you're never going to get on course, folks. I can tell you as a father, look, we'll get down here a little farther and it's going to talk about our natural fathers and God as our father. As a father, I love my children. I philios them. I mean, that comes, frankly, naturally for the most part. Sometimes I get angry with them, but philios affection comes pretty naturally. The agape, which is I see the issues in their life that could destroy them. Some of these issues I have seen since they couldn't even speak words all the way to the present day. Those are the issues that trouble me as a father for their sake. As I seek the Lord and search for how to help them, that those things don't destroy them. And sometimes I do reasonably well, and sometimes I don't. And the only reason why sometimes I don't is my fault, because I love myself or I philios them more than agape them. There's no other excuse. Zero any other excuse. And I share this because I listen to people and I just listen to the presumption that people operate in. I listen to the presumption. Oh, I love my children. Oh, I love the Lord. Oh, I love... Really? I mean, do you really ever stop and ask yourself, do you really love as you're so greatly proclaiming you do? I can tell you, when I go to the Lord about my love for him, for my children, for anybody, I shudder. It is a fearful place to go to the Lord, because when I compare myself to him, every good thought I would have about myself flees. And I see myself as falling short in every facet of that. Not a comfortable place. Not a comfortable place. But a place that, if you're going to love God, if you as a father are going to accept the responsibility you have to love your children as Christ has loved you, so that, because they don't see Jesus, they see you. You know, I heard Rick talking about, you know, if we can do one thing, it's teach the children to believe and to trust in God. Praise God. But when you want to, if you want to be the one who teaches your children to believe and trust in God, you know what you have to be? Believable and trustworthy to them. That's how you do it. It's not about talking about how he is. It's about being that yourself. That's a whole different story, isn't it? I mean, I love to talk about how great the Lord is and how you can trust him and believe him and all of these things. That's awesome. Praise God. Be accountable to be that way myself for their sakes, or as a minister to be accountable to be that way for your sakes, and to seek to hold myself to that standard, which is Christ and not you guys or anybody else in the world. I mean, what difference does it make what anybody else in the world does? You're not going to be able to stand and go, well, look, I did better than that person, or I did better than this person, or any of these other things. You're not going to be able to do that. You're going to have to stand naked and exposed before the Lord, who will know the absolute truth about every single thing that you're about ready to say, even if you don't. And the amazing thing is, it's really amazing how often when you come to the light, you know who the first person is to realize the wrongness? even before just the, making the decision to come to the light. Okay, I'm going to go and bring this up. Now, all the potential issues with what you're doing come flooding in. They all come flooding in, so it makes you even less want to go to the light because now you pretty much already know the answer to your question because you're wrong and you don't want to be wrong and you don't want to be embarrassed by having it exposed that you are wrong. But if you love God, that is, if you agape Him, if you agape your own life, you will do it anyways. In fact, the things you're most unsure of will be the first things you want to bring up. The absolute first things, so that you can get shed of those right up front. So he says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." See, when you are being chastened, it's a sign that you have been received, not rejected. That's an amazing thing. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. I want to be dealt with as with a son. I don't know about you. So let me endure chastening. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? So in other words, there's not a single person out here, even if you're not a witness to their chastening, who does not get chastened. Why? Because we start off born into sin and wrong from the get-go. Hello, we are going to need chastening if we're going to get it right. We receive Christ. He takes us as we are. What do we think? He takes us as we are and now we've arrived? Absolutely not. Now we've begun. Not arrived. We have begun. So now we're going to get some of this other stuff. We sang that song, "Shew me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me." Right? Why do we need him to do that? Because we don't know any of that but by him. We have no idea how to do any of that but by him. So that means you're going to be making a lot of mistakes as you're learning those things. Praise God. It's okay. So let's continue on. But if ye are without chastisement, and we know this, how many people might you minister unto who the fact of the matter is the last thing you want to do is bring any correction to them because they're going to get pissed and angry and nasty and every other thing. Who's the victim there? They are. Who's the one not loving them? You. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. If you're a bastard and not a son, let me tell you something, folks. You're not going to heaven. You are not going to heaven. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. See, partaking of his holiness has nothing to do with the law, has nothing to do with your righteousness, has nothing to do with any of those things. When you take your place and operate in the body of Christ, you are holy. You have given up your life. You are walking in the life of Christ. If you want to walk in the life of Christ, you've got to get rid of your life in its entirety. Every bit. You've got to love, that is agape, the life he has for you. And the life you thought you had for yourself, you lay it down. You lay it down. You recognize, what possible good of a sinful, blind guy like me could there be of any of the ideas for myself that I had? I mean, let's back up and look at it for a moment, folks. Isn't that really what it is? If you know the truth, you know that that's the truth. There was nothing. Is there anything that we have or that we're trying to hang on to that's better than what he has for us? If you believe him, the answer is clearly no. If you love him and trust him, the answer is clearly no. If you love your own life, then you got a lot of issues with that one. And you got a lot of issues with chastening because you're trying to hang on to something that's not worth hanging on to. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, this is what we're after. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. I want the peaceable fruit of righteousness, God's righteousness in my life, having given up my works. My works, which are nothing. And instead operate in his works and in his righteousness. See, my works are all the things I do to try to justify myself before God or before man. His works are accomplished when I recognize there is no justification for me but him. There's no work I can do but his. That's of any value. So what happens, and this is the other part I wanted to get to, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but yet it, let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and thereby many be defiled. See, a lot of people think this root of bitterness comes from all the bad things you do to me, and I'm just not able to forgive you. You know where the bitterness gets its hold? Is you don't endure the chastening. And so then it starts snowballing. Snowballing. Your unbelief, your doubt, your judgment, all of these things start snowballing. And you're miserable. And you think, nobody understands me. Nobody gets it. They don't understand. And you have all of this stuff because you refuse to endure chastening. Sure, in that, a part of that may be that you will struggle to forgive people. But what most people in that do, and they don't even realize it, is they see themselves that they are forgiving. They're big, you know? I mean, they're big. I mean, you're bad, and they know you're bad, and that's okay, and you did them wrong, and you don't know that you did them wrong, so that's okay, and it's all pure, unadulterated pride and self-righteousness, and God is not in it at all. The fact of the matter is the one in that situation who is wrong is the one who hasn't endured the chastening, the one who's judging their brother like that, not able to recognize that, wait a second here, maybe it's me. Maybe it's me. And I share this because, look, folks, as you are fathers out here and you're looking out, I can tell you, as a father to my children, I love taking my children on an adventure. We have a good time. I love watching a movie with my children or reading a book with them. I love doing these things. I don't love as much disciplining them and chastening them, taking away from them things that they love and are horrified when it gets taken away from them. But it needs to be taken away from them, so I take it away from them. That's not the thing that brings me my greatest joy. I love doing the other things. If I could be a father and just do that, I'd be happy. But the truth of the matter is, I can't be a father and just do that if I'm going to love the Lord. In fact, I even have to look at whether those things that I do that I love are of Him to begin with, even though I like them. And as a minister, the way this works is the chastening of the Lord that comes down. So in this, all of us are children. We're His sons. Is that chastening that comes down and that correction that comes down through His line of authority. You don't have to hear from the top of the line of authority in order for it to be of Him. You don't have to hear from the next rung of the line of authority for it to be from Him. You can hear it from the bottom rung of the line of authority and it be from Him. The key on that is you. If you will come to that place where you will choose to love God, which means you're going to trust Him and you're going to believe Him, then you know what? You're going to receive. He's going to give you the guidance you need. I love the story of Hannah, who was Samuel's mother, for this reason. Eli was the chief priest. He was the high priest in Israel. Eli had had a prophet of the Lord come unto him and tell him, because of his failures with his sons, that the Lord was going to cut him off. He was going to cut him off. He told him this many years before. Eli was still the high priest. Hannah, a woman who had no children, and her husband had two wives, the other one had lots of children, and the other one lorded over it, the fact that she had lots of children and Hannah had none. Hannah goes in there and she's pouring her heart out unto the Lord in the tabernacle, because they didn't have the temple at the time. She's pouring her heart out unto the Lord, and Eli, most discerning Eli, goes over to her and says, "Woman, what are you doing over here being drunk and coming into church?" She says, "Lord, I'm not drunk. I'm just a woman of a sorrowful spirit, and I'm pouring out my complaint to the Lord." And so Eli then goes, "Oh, okay, well, in that case, go in peace. Lord, grant your request." So she got up. The high priest had told her God heard her request and was going to grant it. She got up happy. She was no longer sad. She was no longer distressed. She was no longer beat up all about all these things. She believed God had heard her because his high priest, didn't matter who he was, had said that the Lord was going to grant her request. So she walked away believing God. And that request was that she be given a son and she would lend him to the Lord all the days of her life. So she has the son, Samuel. And who does she take him to raise him? Eli, who had completely screwed up his own sons. And you know what? God used Eli for Samuel's sake because of the faith of his mother. Even though Eli was not good. Now let's contrast that with us. Well, he doesn't know what he's saying because this, that, and the thing. We judge. See, when you fall into that, you cannot endure chastening. You cannot. And yet, I watch as people do just that, and I watch them go and grow more miserable by the day, and by the week, and by the month, and by the year. And I watch the circumstances overtake and control them and try to destroy them. And they refuse to hear. I can tell you, folks, that should never be the case with us. Let us determine to exercise this little bit of hardness, not resisting sin unto blood like Jesus, just this little bit of hardness to receive chastening and be grateful for it, that it may yield that peaceable fruit of righteousness, that we may go forth in the body of Christ doing the works of God. Amen.